Praise the Lord. Leonie referred right at the beginning to last Sunday's sermon, which was preached by Philip, and he began his sermon really by talking about the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ when our Lord left this earth and disappeared, as it were, through the clouds unto his Father. And he posed the question to those of us who should know our Bibles: were the disciples who saw their Lord disappear from them, were they happy, were they downcast, were they joyful, were they miserable? And what is the answer? They were joyful. They were joyful. And Philip gave us three reasons why they were joyful, and also why you, myself, why the Church of Jesus Christ should be joyful. Hallelujah. Can you give me the reasons that Philip gave why the disciples were not downcast? They were joyful in the Lord. The first one was that they'd asked a question. Philip said it was not a foolish question. Many thought it would be foolish, but actually it was a jolly good question. What was the question, and what did Jesus say? Yeah. Yes, will you restore? When will you restore? Will you restore? And the answer that Jesus gave them was, Philip, yeah, it's not for you, sir. But hey, man, he is going to restore. That's what gave them great joy, because although it wasn't imminent, it's going to happen. It's going to happen, and I believe it won't be long. What was the second reason? What's the day? The promise of the Holy Spirit. They said, look, you wait here, or the good old word, tarry here, because I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit. And of course, earlier on, just before his death and crucifixion, as he was talking, as the Lord Jesus was chatting to his disciples, as he was praying and talking, he said, look, I'm not going to be around much longer. Where I go, you can't come with me at this moment in time. But in fact, there's going to be something even better, because the Holy Spirit will come. He will come. He will be your comforter. He will be your counselor. He will be your paraclete. So although I personally cannot be with you, if you continue to believe and trust in me, you will have my presence with you, to guide, to counsel, to comfort, to lift you up, to point to the truth, to lead you into the things of God. The Holy Spirit will come. But much more than that, he would come in great presence, great manifestation. Because before Pentecost, if you like, the disciples were like rabbits. But after Pentecost, they became ferret-like. And that's what God wants for us today. That we will be calling on him, that we will be empowered from on high. One of the things which we've been looking at, and particularly in the other week in our particular Connect group, was the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We are a Pentecostal church, and each one who has been called by God, who has been saved by their trust in the work of Jesus on the cross, pleading the blood that did for sin atone, being washed from their filth, washed from their sin, given new life, new hope, a new destination. As a child of God, he wants to impact you with his Holy Spirit so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. You can edify somebody else. You can edify the church. He may give you a particular gift that he wants you to use as you're walking the streets, as you're standing at the bus stop, as you're sitting at the office desk, as you're visiting the sick in hospital. You see, what has come to me very, very clearly, because one of the words which we looked at the other Wednesday evening in our particular Connect group was that he, that is the Father, will give the Holy Spirit through Jesus as he wills. As he wills. He distributes as he sees. And what has come so, so clear to me, so apparent to me, is that the Lord, yes, in 2015, is looking for a spirit-filled, faith-filled community of believers where he can work his grace, where he can work his wonders, where he can work his miracles, where people come to life. He's looking for a faith-filled, spirit-filled community of believers. That is includes you and myself, dear friend. That has come so powerfully to me. Because I believe when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're alive to the things of God, and we may have many, many challenges out with, we may have many obstacles, many attacks and darts of the evil one to try and take us off our pathway, which Christ is calling us to walk on. But his word is, fight the good fight of faith. Stay on that narrow path. I will be with you. I will empower you to not only walk, but to overcome. To actually reach the destination in victory. Hallelujah. As more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And the longing of the Holy Spirit, and is my heart, church, is that we will be walking, living in the Spirit, so that we are faith-filled, Spirit-filled. Our conversation is different to the world. Of course we will talk about the things which concern us. We will continue as Spirit-filled believers to talk about the weather, I'm sure. You know, but there are other things. You know what it says in Malachi chapter 3? Hey, these guys loved to talk about the things of God. It was remembered, it was a mark in heaven that they talked about things which were pleasing to the Lord. Things which built faith rather than fear. And that's what this community needs to be. And as we grow, that we, friends, if we are looked upon as a club, we failed. We failed miserably. I was thinking just the other night, as laying in bed and whatnot, and I was just talking to the Lord, and I just felt him say this, or impress this upon me. I didn't hear a voice, but I felt impressed upon me. You know, in this town we have the big Tesco, we have Tesco Expresses. Now, if suddenly we woke up Monday morning and the Tescos had disappeared, no more Tesco. It could be any Sainsbury, anybody. Don't please get upset if I haven't named your favourite grocer. But if Tesco's all disappeared, we'd notice it, wouldn't we? It would be noticeable. Where's it gone? Where am I going to buy my shopping? What about the poor people who work there? If all of the McDonald's suddenly went from town, what would our youngsters do? There would be panic. But I wonder, friends, this is a serious point. This is what was being impressed upon me. If the Crawley New Life Church suddenly disappeared, would it make any difference? Difference in the community, difference in your place of work, difference in your family? Would people notice? If the whole church in Crawley suddenly went, would it make a big hole? Would people be wondering? Would they be saying, the light is gone? We're in darkness because the light, the church, is no longer. Panic! The Lord is looking for us to be a faith-filled, spirit-filled community. People walk in faith. People who are expecting, hearing from the Lord. So that, for example, a brother or sister is in here, a child, whoever, and has an ailment, has a sickness, has a great need, affliction. There's something racking their body. God, the Holy Spirit, gives the Holy Spirit a gifting as he wills. He distributes which is pleasing to him, which will bring glory to him. And he say, hey, that brother is in a faith-filled community. That sister is in a faith-filled community. They are believing God to do the impossible. When man says no, God says yes and gives the gift of healing to somebody as they lay hands on. Restored. Healed. You hear me? So sad, isn't it, that you know, she said, look, I can't work amongst that people. They've got unbelief. They're lacking in faith. They're lacking in trust. They're just looking at the situations, the circumstances, instead of to me. I have to leave them. Dust your feet. Go. Don't believe the Lord wants to say that to us. I believe God has been very gracious and merciful to us. But this Pentecost Sunday, he is reminding you, he's reminding me, we need to be a faith-filled, spirit-filled, no longer carnal, no longer walking in the flesh, no longer fulfilling the lust of the flesh, loving his word. Do you not remember what we spoke about towards the end of last year? We've been reminded since some of the what we believe are the priorities of the church, the distinctives of this church particularly, is not to say that others don't, but this is precious to us. Our love for the Word of God. Because if we have a love to the Word, friends, so much of the church today is compromising. Please, Lord, keep me, keep the leaders, keep us from deception. Keep us from going, from compromising. You see, friends, when we compromise, when we give to the world what is thereafter, what they want, we lose our saltiness. We lose our light. We lose the ability to make a difference. The church that compromises has already gone into the enemy's camp. Please, Lord, keep us. This does not just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. If we love the Word of God, we'll love Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll love the biblical Jesus, the Jesus who can make a difference. And the Bible tells us, walk not after the things that don't love this world. You've got to let it go. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. What you need will be given to you. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to be like the Apostle Paul, don't you? As he came to the end of his life. Hey, I've finished the course. I've run the race. It started off all badly. I was a filthy sinner. I was in the enemy's camp, but he had mercy on me. He blinded me and then opened my eyes. I saw it was Jesus who I was persecuting. He had mercy on me. And from that day onwards, I was in heaven's camp. Hallelujah. And although there was trials, beatings, tribulation, and all sorts of things came against me, he was with me. I completed my calling. I'm ready to go now. Because he no longer saw this world as his home. But he was here to make a difference. The great apostle. I pray that will be so for each one. Friends, we need to be a faith-filled, spirit-filled community. Hallelujah. So that somebody comes in here who is desperately addicted to sin, maybe addicted to pornography, to cigarettes, to booze, to temper, to gossip. They're just addicted. They're bound. And because we're a faith-filled community where God is pleased to manifest his presence, because it's all about Jesus, he can say, sister, go to that sister. Speak the word of life. Speak truth into their situation. He can give a discerning spirit. He can give a discerning mind. He can give the knowledge, the word of knowledge. And at that moment, the sinner comes alive. No longer addicted to porn. No longer addicted to drink. No longer being a hot-headed person. But they become a new creation in Jesus because they've met him who is alive. A faith-filled community, a spirit-filled community will be walking in the Spirit. We get it wrong at times. Sometimes we will fail. And that's why we're also to be a community of grace. Grace for each other. Forgiving each other as we have been forgiven. The Lord is on his throne. So the second reason that Philip gave last week was, hey, wait until the Spirit be poured out. And of course, amazing scenes happened. Many people thought they were hearing, as Acts chapter 2 says, they were hearing their own languages being spoken. Egyptian, Armenian, doesn't matter what it was. Hey, this is a miracle. These men, these women who could hardly open their mouth before are now just gushing out. They were given the gift of tongues. Others said, they're drunk. They've totally lost it. No, Peter says in his wonderful sermon, these are not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. He's come as he promised. Blessed be his name. He's come amongst you, friends, this morning. The invitation was, open your life, open your heart to him. If you're thirsty, come. Come, receive of the living water. The Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit withdrew from this church, we would be dead. We would be dead. The Holy Spirit is still amongst us. We sung one of those songs, one of the hymns, and the last line of each chorus was, revive us again, O Lord. We'll be singing in a moment that old song, which with a more modern tune, Send the Fire, Lord. And that's sometimes, I tremble as I sing it, because when the Holy Spirit sends his fire, if you're asking for the fire of the Holy Spirit to come, that's going to purify, that's going to get rid of your dirt, your dross, your temper, your gossip. It's going to get rid of your sin. Because we can't approach God. Only in Jesus, he says, be holy as I am holy. Without holiness, we cannot see God. So yes, sing it, friends. Believe it. Send your fire, Lord. We'll be a different people. A faith-filled, spirit-filled community. Revive me, Lord. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. The world's getting sicker, friends. We mentioned in our prayer one or two of the things which are just taking place, and you think, how can, in such a short space of time, within a decade, what was spoken of as evil has now become good? What was good is now spoken of as evil, just as the word says will happen. But what an opportunity. A spirit-filled lady, a spirit-filled man, a faith-filled man, a woman, a faith-filled, a spirit-filled woman, boy, girl, a community of believers. As we extend, as we believe, Christ is going to add, and it will be said, this one and that one has been born in this place. We must be alive to the things of God. Forsake sin. Forsake those things which are holding us back. The third reason being that Philip gave us last week was, he's coming back. That gave the disciples joy. He's coming back. He's coming back to the Mount of Olives. He's coming back. Just as you saw him go, he's coming back. And there he will establish his throne. Hallelujah. The kingdoms of this world, the sick kingdoms, the sick empires, all that is belonging to Satan at this moment will be destroyed in an instant. Christ will reign. His is an everlasting kingdom. Do you want to be part of that? I do. I want to be there. I want to be living and reigning with my Lord when he comes back. The opportunity and the invitation is we can live and reign with him now. The word of God says, you believer are seated with him in the heavenly places. That's a bit of a mystery, but we are. Just go and give you five reasons. Just turn to your Bibles, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You see, as the disciples rejoice, so can we rejoice. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling at Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them speaking in their own tongue the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." And then, of course, Peter stands up and he addresses the crowd. And actually, you know, he talks about, well, these days are being fulfilled, what was spoken of in Joel and other places. The Spirit has come. The church has been made alive. Hallelujah. And then, you know, we know that there were later 3,000 plus who were saved. But as people's consciences were being pricked, because God was at work, if God is at work, you know, our conscience can be pricked. We are convicted. And in verse 37, I believe, it says, they said, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" Peter says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Repent, repent, repent. Turn to the Lord. He whom you helped crucify is come as your Savior, your Redeemer. Repent." Many were saved. You see, what we've just read in those opening verses was the Holy Spirit was there. The miracles that were taking place were glorifying God. Glorifying God. So much of what goes under the name of revival today does not glorify God. It just elevates man and woman. Flee from it, friends. Flee from the bizarre, the flaky. But the genuine is so, so much better. It's real, it's lasting. It won't just give you a fix until next week or until something else happens. He comes to enrich, renew, restore, enable, to give you the abundant life. Come, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And a hindrance to it this morning, because you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. One hindrance is sin. If you regard iniquity, sin, transgression in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. It is time to lay it down, confess it to the Lord Jesus Christ right now. He's looking for a spirit-filled, faith-filled, but a holy, holy people. You see, Jesus could say, the ruler of this world is coming. He has nothing on me. Why could Jesus say that? Because he's living a dedicated life, a committed life, a yielded life, a surrendered life to his Father. He was doing his will. Satan has nothing on you. Don't let Satan have a hold. Don't let him have some. If friend, please, I plead with you, as I've had to do myself, if you've got a skeleton somewhere, confess it, trample on it, get rid of it, and you can know the freedom of Jesus. Because whatever is in the dark is going to be exposed. Without holiness, you cannot see the Lord. If you are regarding sin and it's become pleasurable to you, seek God now. Be convicted. Oh, Lord, come. Because he will then give you the grace and the strength to forsake. And you will be made willing in the day of his power. If you've got an unruly tongue, it's not glorifying to Jesus. Confess it to him now and say, that's the old Jim. Come, Lord. I believe that you are able. I believe your words. You can set me free. And I can be baptized in the Spirit. Am I saying that you've got to be perfect to receive from the Lord? No, no, no. God forbid. But if we're hanging on to things which the Lord is nudging at us to forsake, to withdraw from, not to watch, not to see, not to go, then he will give us the help to do it. But we must be made willing. It is of his own free and sovereign will. But we must be ready. So do not resist him. You see, friends, as Jesus had the authority over the evil one, so you and I can have that authority in Jesus. But if we've got sin, if we're bound by something that is still tormenting us or crushing us or we're taking delight in, we have no authority over the evil one. We stay where we were and go deeper and deeper until we turn to the living Lord God and he will have mercy on us and baptize us afresh. What is another thing which may be holding you back or may be holding us back is ignorance. You see, Hosea says, my people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge. In fact, they had some knowledge, but they perverted it. The word of God is for you and for me. Although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Don't reject knowledge, the knowledge of God. Friends, as I conclude, Satan is a loser. Satan is a loser. One day that's going to be manifest. He will be cast down into the bottomless pit. And all the demons will go with him. In a sense, he's toothless to the believer, but he still attacks. You and I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, totally surrendered to him, to be washed, to come and take of this living water now. Because that's the only way we will know the defeat of Satan in our life, in our family, in our finances, in our health, in our community, until Jesus comes. You see, Satan is a created being. God is the uncreated one. Hallelujah. He's the faithful one. Let us pray. Lord, come, come we pray, come we pray. Lord, we believe, Lord, one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to make us look upon sin as our enemy. That one of the workings of the Holy Spirit is that you want us to deal with sin as an enemy. To hate it as an enemy, to loathe it as an enemy, to come against it as an enemy. If any of my good friends here this morning, Lord, have become a friend of this world, a friend of sinner, friend of sin, Holy Spirit, come now. Take away the love of sinning, dear Lord, Alpha and Omega B. Come, Lord. Lord, I pray that fear will not hold us back. You have said that you have not given us a spirit of fear. We know that fear will paralyze us and keep us from wielding to your enabling, to your power, to the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. But your word also tells us that the wicked one does not touch whoever is born of God. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Say, begone unbelief, begone fear. We're going to sing that song now. If it helps you, if you need prayer, or if you just need to kneel where you are, or kneel at the front, friends, don't let this moment pass. He loves you. He will not be willing to pour his love and his grace and his spirit upon you if you were not special to him through Jesus Christ. Just a little word, friend. If you've been broken, don't go back to the place where you were broken. Right now, you can receive wholeness and healing. Don't retreat. Right now, the Spirit of God can touch you and make you whole. Speak his word to you. Make us, Lord, a faith-filled, spirit-filled, holy people, pleasing to you, who will be used for your glory. A church of impact, a people of impact.